wonderful, wonderful testimony. And I love Holy Spirit, how he orchestrates and brings things together. Pastor Nina kept saying, God kept saying, just wait, wait, wait. Anybody else struggle with waiting sometimes? I just want to know if it's more folk than me. I ain't going to say nobody's name because I don't we get no emails or nothing. We live stream. I'm like, oh, he called her out, called him out. Wait, just wait. So for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the power of patience. The power of patience. Yes, he did. He said, yeah. Holy Spirit's a master setter-upper. I want to talk to you about the power of patience. We are in a season of accelerated kingdom advancement. Things are moving fast. God is moving. And at the same time, I believe that there's a sobering word for us to all grab a hold of, and that is you still have to understand the power of patience and understanding the process. Pastor Jamal was speaking last week, and I heard him talking about the process. I heard him talking about how you need to not abort the process. And so I'm hopeful that some of what I share, I believe, over these next few moments will speak to all of us. Because here's one of the things I want to say to you is that, you know, often we think it takes so long or it took so long. And as Pastor Nina was saying, it was decades of what God took care of in one swipe, one signing of whatever was signed and the letter sent. And I want to encourage you, read your mail. Read your mail. Now, you know, here's part of what happens. You get so used to getting bills, I'm not saying you. Sometimes some people can get used to the mail just being so negative that they just let it pile, that they just set it aside. And it can be because all you really get is bills. All you really get is final notices. And so you think that if you set it aside, it's going to go away. It doesn't. It's still going to be there. Matter of fact, they'll send another one. Another one after that. And so it's important because Pastor Nina said, I really don't know when it came because I didn't even open it. You know, sometimes have you ever looked at something and on the outside it appeared to have no real significance or benefit for you, so you just set it down, you don't even open it? Have you ever looked at someone who you thought had no real significance or any meaning for your life, only to recognize that's the person God sent to help you? Come on, y'all. We've all done it. And I remember years ago, we've helped a lot of people over the years with benevolence and, well, one particular, I'm sorry, what do we need? My mic is cutting out? Really? Well, we can't have that. All right, saints, give me a moment. Somebody sing something. Just make sure it's the same song. Thank you. Pastor Jamal said, I think it might be sweat in your thing. I said, no, bro, because I wasn't sweating at all today. Can you just give me just a little bit more on this, and then we'll work on that, because I don't really like to hold a mic, but we're good for now. I just feel compelled to share this point I'm making, because when Pastor Nina said that, it was like the, it was like there was the,
The delay of opening it delayed the rejoicing for something God had done. She just didn't know it yet. And so sometimes we just open your mail. You know, this sister years ago, she was a member of our fellowship, wonderful lady, and she was just going through things, and we helped her as much as she could. She had stacks of mail that she had not opened for months and months and months. And then when she finally sat down to open it, a lot of it was, you know, bills and things like that. But there were a few checks in there as well that had passed the 90-day period of being able to cash them. On one occasion, I got some things in the mail, and there was something that looked like, it was addressed to me, but it didn't look like it was anything personal. And I was just getting ready to throw it away as well. You know how you get those kind of pieces, they fold up, and, you know, they're just folded up. So, yeah, perforated. So I'm thinking, oh, that's nothing. When I opened that thing up, it was a check for like $145 or something. I'm like, wow, where did this come from? And it was some class action suit that I didn't remember signing up for, but I got the check. I'm just saying, we don't want to miss any opportunity, do we? I want to talk to you about the power of patience. It's in the book of James, various translations. This one here, I really believe this is from, you know, this is from the King James, but we'll work with it. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. This says, let patience or endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I believe that word, when you see it and it says perfect, it's always or mainly talking about mature. Say mature. Yeah, we are being perfected. We are being matured as we walk out this life. Patience, the capacity to tolerate delay. Listen to this now. The capacity to tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without becoming angry or upset. Mm-hmm. Patience, the capacity to tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without becoming angry or upset. How many of you'd be honest enough to say you've been upset sometimes because things just were not happening as quickly as you wanted them to happen? How many of you would be honest enough to say that you've been angry with God because things just weren't seeming, okay, see, nobody wanted to raise their hand on that one, but, you know, we're getting ready to have a deliverance service, cast out that lion spirit. Because I don't know about you, but I've had my moments with God as well over the years. I have less of them now, but I've had some. And it led to having a I was going to say a come to Jesus meeting, but yeah, it was just that, and Holy Spirit setting me straight. When we look at biblical patience, listen to this, biblical patience is a God exercise or God-given restraint in face of opposition or oppression. It is not passivity. The initiative lies with God's love. God said to be long or slow to anger. Sometimes when we are dealing with impatience, we can get upset. When we're dealing with impatience, and we can get upset with our children. We can get upset with the spouses. We can get upset with coworkers. We can get upset with just individuals when we are dealing with our own impatience. Another statement concerning patience, the quality of forbearance or self-control, which shows itself particularly in a willingness, now get this, a willingness to wait upon God and his will. Believers are called upon to be patient in their expectation of God's actions and in their relationships with one another. We must learn to be patient with one another. Our challenge oftentimes is we judge others by their actions, but ourselves by our intents. And that doesn't work well, because you want to think, or we think we always have the best of intentions, but when someone else does something, then, you know, you want to judge them as being wrong, but do you really know the intent of their heart for why they did what they did, or what were the circumstances around it? Come on, say the power of patience. You'll say, God, give me grace to be more patient. Other words for patience is forbearance, long-suffering, slow to anger, endurance, tolerance, and steadfastness. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it reads like this. By entering through faith in God into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master, Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, open in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I love that. The power of patience. I believe this is a word for this house. I believe it's a word for many that are listening right now, so that we don't do something out of a place of impatience and miss what God is doing in this accelerated season of kingdom advancement, the next level. Now, I want to say this because we are in the process of doing a whole lot of things here at the embassy real quick. Anybody happen to notice a new sign when you pulled in? Most of you probably did not. That's okay. But when you exit out, you'll notice that the sign now says the embassy. Can I get seven more of y'all to clap with the five that are clapping right now? No, can somebody really clap and lift up a shout of praise right now? It has taken being patient in order to get ourselves in the position to start moving in that direction. But it's also necessary because you don't want to put up a placard or a sign prematurely. Lest you have to take it down. But where we are and what God has allowed us to establish now is permanence. See, you don't need a sign to worship God. We've had the banners up for the last couple years. As a matter of fact, we put those up right when we had that conference here back a year or two now. That's when we, 2 years now. That's when we put those banners up. Those banners have been up there 2 years, all the while waiting for our sign to go up. Patience. But it took not getting impatient. And if you didn't get anything out of what Pastor Nina said, and I know you did, don't fly past the point of wait. Because there is so much that happens in the waiting. So I want to finish out the next few minutes talking to you about this from a book that I read years ago, The Making of a Leader by Frank DiMaggio. But I'm focusing on the making of the believer. Because all of us lead somebody at some point, sometime. But this word is a word for all of us. This is what the writer says, definition concerning what he calls the patience test. Just know that every now and then your patience is going to be tested. If you're raising kids, if your patience is going to be tested. Just do like this. If you've raised any, just do like this. If you think you might raise some, do like this. But there is grace. There is grace. There is grace to wait on God. Grace to wait on God. The patience test happens when, listen to this, when a believer's expectations in God are not fulfilled on schedule. Patience is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. This word comes from the Latin word, which means to suffer. In the patience test, God challenges a believer to wait patiently. See, there's the key. Go back. So wait, but can you wait patiently? Can you wait patiently? Can you wait in such a way that you don't get angry, that you don't get upset? The quality of forbearance and self-control, which shows itself particularly in a willingness to wait on God and His will. God exercised or God-given restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. In the patience test, God challenges a believer to wait patiently or to endure some tribulation or testing without complaint or complaining. To grow in patience, a believer must bear pain or trouble without losing self-control or becoming a disturbance to others. I'm just going to look at the sky, right? Look at the ceiling right now. Can you wait and not be a disturbance to others? Can you believe that God is working it out for your good, for His glory, and you not let everybody know that you're disturbed? To grow in patience, a believer must bear pain or trouble without losing self-control or becoming a disturbance to others. In portraying this quality, a believer calmly tolerates delay while refusing to be provoked by it. See, there is a place that we live in, can live in, where you say, I'm not going to be bothered by this. I won't be bothered by you. I mean, sometimes you have to go there with it as well because I am patiently waiting on God. I'm in a process, and I need to stay focused so that I don't allow my peace to get disturbed. To grow in patience, a believer must bear pain or trouble without losing self-control or becoming a disturbance to others. In portraying this quality, a believer calmly tolerates delay while refusing to be provoked by it. You know, one of the things I so remember about Gwen Stewart, and many of you know her, she and Brother Joe Stewart were members of our congregation for years, very lovely couple. They were really spiritual parents to Pastor Maurice and I. And Mother Gwen had the statement, she just always, no matter what was going on, how are you doing? It is well. It is well. Her last days of life, she just kept saying, it is well. It is well. See, I believe that's the posture of one who's learned to walk in the power of patience. See, I recognize we have challenges. Everybody has challenges personally. We have challenges and yet projects to do here at the embassy, pastoring this church, the other things. But I have purposed in my heart and mind that no matter what, my new response to how are you doing, it is well. Doesn't mean everything is in place where it needs to be. But when you can arrive in that place and truly mean it, what you are saying is by faith, I believe that God is in charge. Now, he may not be in control because this fool over here is acting like they ain't got no sense. But that's a whole nother story. He's not controlling everybody, but he is in charge. Simply meaning, in due time, he's going to address that. In due time, he's going to address this situation. In due time, this is going to get straightened out. And my posture is, it is well. Come on, just practice saying that right now. Say it three times. Come on. It is well. Come on. It is well. Come on. It is well. Some of y'all are like, it is. Come on, you need to fix your mouth to say it by faith. Some of you, when you get in your car, you need to ride out of here. It is well. When you get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom. If you get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, it is well. When you get up in the morning, before anything happens, it is well. You see, that's a faith statement. In some ways, it is a reality, but it's also a faith statement. And I love what the writer here says, in portraying this quality, the believer calmly tolerates delay while refusing to be provoked by it. Now, one of the challenges with that you will have to manage and walk out is sometimes when you have learned to live in this place for others, it will look like you don't care. Yeah, yeah. But you have to be okay with that and not try to help them understand that. Sometimes when people look at you, they'll think that you're in denial. Man, they don't know how bad it is. They must not know how bad it is. Well, no, I may know how bad it is. I'm just not going to let it disturb my peace. And I'm going to stay in this place of patient faith, trusting God. The 15 years that I walked through the health challenge that I did, and last week we were ministering up in Columbus at a church, and the gentleman said, how did you go 15 years? I said, well, I wasn't planning on it. Just like Daniel wasn't planning to pray 21 days. Now, I need you to think about that, because we're quick to say a 21-day Daniel fast, 21 days. Listen, it could have been 14. If that angel showed up in 7 days, it would have been a 7-day fast. Okay? It's we don't script this. But all I can tell you is over them 15 years, all the way up to from 97 to 2012, I just kept hearing wait, wait, wait. And sometimes you hear that others, it's not for the other person or other people. So sometimes you just have to go with it and keep going with it. I'm talking about the power of patience. When you understand that God often will allow it to go a certain span of time for your good, for his glory, and because of what he's working out that's going to be complete when it's done, then you can rest in that place and you can walk in confidence. The purpose for a patience test. To pass the patience test, a believer must have yielded his rights, her rights, to Jesus Christ already, so that he or she is able to wait for him to return his expectations or her expectations to him in his own timing and as undeserving blessings. Meaning this, when you and I set expectations, we think God works on our time. So when the expectation is met, you may not be as grateful. Every leader has certain expectations, not only in his life, her life, and ministry, but also of others. In not attempting to play God in his or her own life and the lives of others, a humble believer will yield to the Lord even some very good and appropriate goals. The believer knows that God will use a delay of fulfillment to accomplish what he desires. I want you to understand that the God we serve is a God of finality, meaning this, when he says it's done, it's done. When it's over, it's over. And only he knows when it's completely done, it's completely over, that judgment has been meted out to the degree in which he has determined for it to be meted out. That's why when you look through the scriptures and you wonder, well, why did it take so long to do this? Why did it take so long to do this? Why did it take so long for this to happen? It's because God himself knows that I want to make sure that when this is done, it is done. Now, your part is to be patient and to trust me in this process. And so we see that in the scriptures, that when God sends Moses to Pharaoh, Pharaoh could have let him go immediately. But what does the word say? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Can you imagine that Pharaoh, I mean, he had to be fed up. He had to be like, man, I'm getting him out of here today. He said that in the morning by 6 o'clock in the evening, y'all ain't going nowhere. And then wonder what happened. Because God kept doing that until God said, okay, we're good now. Because when this is done, we're done. That's the way God works. And he's serious about it. When God says he's going to do something, you can mark time. It will happen. When they came out of bondage, they were attacked by the Amalekites. And God judged them right then, said the day will come when you will be annihilated and wiped from the face of the earth. Fast forward, God presents to Saul the opportunity to do that, to fulfill that word. You remember that? Saul didn't do it. And he was judged for it. So real quickly, an illustration on this patience piece. Sometimes we need to pause and we need to go back and we really need to read the scriptures and say, you don't even have to say, Holy Spirit, give me revelation. Just study some. Study timelines to understand how long did this really take to happen. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 5 through 7, that talks about Noah. What's interesting about Noah is God just simply comes to him and says, you know what? You're my guy. I'm getting ready to judge mankind, but you and your family I will spare. The problem with it, if there was a problem, was that it wasn't immediate. Noah was going to need patience. And how long did he need patience? 120 years. He needed patience for 120 years. Some of us can't make it 120 minutes. 2 hours. 120 years. For 120 years, he's building something and preaching a message. He's preaching to mankind that God is going to judge us. Turn, repent. Can you imagine preaching for 120 years the same message and nobody gets saved? What that would do to your faith? Not only is he sharing this message, he's building something he's never seen before. He's building an ark because God told him it's going to rain. He's never seen rain before. And yet, you talk about the power of patience. He's doing this all by faith. And in it, God gave divine grace and patience so that Noah could endure it. Because you see, it wasn't just sharing the message, it was all the ridicule of what he was doing. It was all of the comments and all of the things that he had to deal with while still moving forward with what God wanted to do in him and through him. You see, the power of patience is that place of endurance. That means even though things have not come together in the time frame that I thought they would come together, I patiently wait on God and continue to walk out the process. When we were in the process of acquiring this facility, Pastor George and I, we went and we sat down with a consulting firm that worked with you to pull together your information to present it to financial institutions around the country. We were like, man, yo, this is how you get it done. Yeah, this is how. And we go in and we have this meeting and they got our information and it didn't work. Patience. So we leave there, go from there, still believing God is in this. So we're talking to the previous owner of the property, and he and I, we all bank at the same bank. We know the branch manager, and we decide we're going to go in and sit down and talk with her. Surely God is in this. I mean, we know her on a first-name basis. He live on the same street she live on. Yeah, we're going to go in. We go in, we sit down with them, and we're talking with them, and she's trying to make it work, and the gentleman that's there from the mortgage or branch of the company, he looks at the numbers and says, well, no, we don't think this would work. And so we leave there, and it's like, man, I just didn't think that was going to go like that. Come on, say patience. So we go and we grab a bite to eat. And it's like, okay, we're going to keep believing. I'm going to keep believing that God is in this. And when I leave there and I go over to a facility to check on a piece of equipment, actually for Pastor George. Pastor George had just had back surgery. He was coming home that day, and I was helping Pastor Sandra make sure that she had everything needed. Now, I had no reason to go to that particular rehab store other than helping my brother. And I pulled in, and when I pulled in, the car that pulled up next to me was that same branch manager. And she pulled up next to me, rolled down her window. I rolled down mine. She said, John, I am so sorry that meeting went the way that it went. When I get back to my office, I'm going to call and give you the name of another bank that I believe can do this deal. I said, okay. She gave me that number. I called that gentleman, set up a meeting the following week. Before then, I sent him documents. I sent him my bio. I sent him everything he'd need to know as to who was coming to meet with him. And when I walked in, the first thing he said to me, he said, you're a man of many talents. God had already gone before us. When I sat down with him, it wasn't, can we do it? It was, how? Let's talk about how to do this. You see, in this place of test of patience, you want to make sure that you really are staying in that place so that you can remain calm in the midst and not lose your faith, not lose your trust in God while it's being worked out on your behalf. God gave Noah grace. I'm saying to those of you under the sound of my voice and those that are watching by way of live stream, there is grace available to you right now. There's grace available to you right now. Just lift your hands and receive that grace right now. Receive that grace right now. Grace for patience. We receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. So the writer ends out here, and this is where I want to end. It says, at the end of his patience test, only he and his family found themselves safely in the ark which they had built. The scoffers perished in the floodwaters outside. Just a quick note, don't worry about your haters. Quit looking at them. Quit factoring them into anything that you do. They're just there as a distraction. Make up your mind, I will not be distracted by you any longer. When we talked about the perseverance of Nehemiah, that's exactly what happened. When they said, come down, we want to meet with you. He said, I can't come down. I won't come down. You got to settle in your heart and in your mind, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. The scoffers perished in the floodwaters outside. Noah's patience paid off for him and his family in the end. Patience will pay off for every believer who patiently leaves the results and details of his or her purpose and destiny in the capable hands of God.